106 years ago, 25 years ago, a suit, a vision, fear, so many things that went into our Sundays in Covell. But today we are here, and today we are grateful. 25 years ago, on a day much like today, this very same church, I delivered my first sermon as a newly hired associate pastor. On that day, there was no thought of building a new church. Rather, the overriding concern was growing this current church. And collectively, a group of respected and dedicated board members worked together diligently and prayerfully to accomplish it. There were great men. Great men who were respected board members. Men like Vern Merrill, Russ Kaufman, John Becker, Kenny Burkhart, Paul Rousey, and of course, my friend, Reverend Dean Benton. It's interesting to look back and to think that they shared a vision of a small country church growing and thriving and ultimately becoming a Christian destination where young families would eventually flourish and find the Lord, and people of all ages would come together to worship God. And always, regardless of what was going on, they would always prioritize His Word. But today, 25 years later, we worship God together for the final time in this old building. But we will never forget those aforementioned names and all the dedicated individuals that spent the past 106 years worshiping in and praying and studying and fellowshipping and serving and singing and playing and laughing and crying and cleaning and repairing and improving this old building. Their gifts, your gifts, and especially and most importantly, God's gifts sustained and strengthened the structure and all the people that make up this old building. 25 years ago, my first sermon was entitled, "The Gift Never Opened." Well, today, in honor of that day and on this special and memorable day, I'm presenting to you a revised version of that first sermon. It is called "Open to the Gift," and as we have always done, we will go to God's Word to better understand the meaning and merit of that word, gift. And folks, let's make sure we understand this. That word gift is incredibly important. You see, that word gift, or the plural gifts, is found over 100 times in Scripture, and it's referenced as something that can be either spiritual, physical and personal, or eternal. That word gift begins with God. James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Dr. Harold Foose, regarding that verse, says this, "James stresses in that passage the great truth that every gift that God sends is good." He goes on. He says, "There's nothing that comes from God which is not good." James uses two different words for the one English word gift, which appears twice, says Foose. The first word means the act of giving. The second has reference to the thing given. All good giving and every perfect, faultless gift is from God above, who never varies in the grace of giving, end quote. God gives gifts. Now the question is, are we open to this statement? If we are, then we will long to understand and grasp the concept of this thing called God's grace. You see, God's grace is the means by which we receive God's gifts. God's grace is His unmerited favor and unending kindness shown to man who does not deserve this. And let's make sure we understand this. None of us deserve this. We don't deserve the building. We don't deserve the relationships and the friendships and the things that happen in the building. But because of God's grace, He brought all of you today, strangely enough, from all these different places, He brought us together today to this building. And I think we would all agree it's a gift. You see, His grace sustains us. It empowers us and it strengthens us. Today we understand that God's grace is truly a gift. In fact, we can say that His grace is empowering and sustaining and amazing. And we'll be talking about that later. Here's what Hebrews 4:16 says. It says, "He, God, sits upon the throne of grace." But it goes on. In John 1:14 and John 1:17, Acts 15:11 says this: He gave us His Son, our Savior, who embodies and exudes His grace. And then lastly, He gives us the Holy Spirit of grace from Hebrews 10:29. Now here's what we know. There is a Trinitarian formula: God the Father, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit. All are active in giving us and showing us and sharing with us their grace. Now that should make us all feel very good. Because as that happens, we are the recipient not only of His grace, but those gifts. And God the Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit care enough about us to do this. And we recognize that today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And in Ephesians 4, verse 7, he says, "Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now, regarding God's grace, do we understand this? And are we open to His gifts? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible says this: "Although the grace of God is always free and undeserved, it must not be taken for granted. Grace is only enjoyed within the covenant." He says the gift is given by God and the gift is received by man through repentance and faith, end quote. That's grace. Are we open to that gift? Have we openly accepted and expected His gift of grace? Do we look for it? Do we like it? Do we talk about it and share it? Is it something that not only encaptures and literally surrounds us, but is it something that reminds us of the love that we are called to have for Jesus? Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 8, one of the most powerful passages that you'll read, he says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing." Listen to this. "It is the gift of God." Now let's talk about this. Faith is a gift. You see, your faith comes from His grace. Many people will say, "I don't even know how. I don't remember when I started believing. I can't believe I know how to believe." A lot of people struggle with faith. They don't understand it. They can't put their hand around it. Literally, they talk about it, but they say, "I really am not sure where my faith came from." Let me tell you where your faith came from. Your faith came from His grace. It's a gift. You see, your gift today is that you are allowed and able to believe in Jesus, live for Jesus, and love Jesus. That's a gift from Him. And today we thank Him because He reminds us that without Him, we have no ability to believe in and trust and love Jesus. It's a gift. Today we relish that gift. In fact, today we cling to that gift because it reminds us of how important He is. If we are open to God's gift, then we have opened the proverbial door and opened our hearts and our minds to Jesus. The question is, have we done this? You see, folks, today we have to ask ourselves, how much do we truly believe in Jesus? How much do we live for Jesus? How much do we love Jesus? How much do we long to live with Jesus? This is a very difficult question because at the end of the day, that question separates the unbelievers from Christians. How much do we long to be with Jesus? It's interesting. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, He says, "Look, I've been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me." Now, we live in a delivery network today. Today, it's all about delivery. By the way, it's killing me. There's no brick and mortar stores. I mean, I literally go to the mall and I get depressed. I miss it. I'm the guy that likes shopping. And so when I go, I'm like, "Oh, you got to go online now. Really? That's no fun." And so I realized that we look forward to deliveries. My daughter ordered something the other day and she couldn't wait. It was like every day, did it come, did it come, did it come, did it come. But this is kind of what we do. And if we order something we're really excited about, have you ever done that? And then you get excited because you think when you hear the doorbell ring or the door knock and you think, "Oh man, it's here." And you open the door and it's a FedEx guy or the UPS guy and you scare him to death because you almost tackle him at the door. This is what we do. We're in that delivery society. And the point is, folks, we always open the door, right? Unless it's somebody you don't want to see, which shame on you for thinking that. But this is what we do. We open the door because we want what we want. Now, my question today is, do you open the door because you want Jesus in your life? Do you open the door to Him? Do you want Him? Do you love Him? Literally, He says, "I'm standing at the door and knocking." You say, "Just open it up. I'm waiting for you, but you've got to open it for me." Do we open the door? We get so excited about deliveries. My question is, do we get excited about being delivered? Is our salvation something as Christians that makes us excited to say, "That door will be open because I love Jesus and because I welcome Him"? Are we prepared, as Jesus references in Luke 12, 36, to open the door and let him in? You see, our gift awaits us. His name is Jesus, but it's up to us to open the door. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, and it's really fitting for today because this is really kind of a thank you day. It's a praise day. It's a rejoice day because we rejoice in every gift that God has given us, not only what's in this old building, but what's going to be in that new building and for all the people who make up the building. It's a day to rejoice. Here's what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says, thank God for his son. Listen to this. His gift, too wonderful for words. Are you open? Are we open to God's righteous and perfect and holy gift that we see and meet in God's holy word? In John 4, 7 through 30, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at the well. Now let's make sure and set this up. It's important that we preface this. Now know this, that Samaritans did not like Jews in this era, and certainly Jews did not like Samaritans. And so there is a lot of shock that's being experienced by this woman. Now here's what we know. She, a Samaritan, was shocked that Jesus, a Jew, would approach her and speak to her at that well where she was drawing water. Here is what he said to her about him. Jesus says, if you only knew what a wonderful gift God has for you. Let's stop for a moment. Do we know that wonderful gift that God has for us? You see, if we open the door to Jesus, we would know that the gift that God gives us is something that will not only sustain us and strengthen us and empower us, but it will allow us to live eternally with him as Christians. He says, if you only knew what a wonderful gift God has for you and who I am, Jesus says, who I am, you would ask me for some living water. Folks, let me ask you this. Have we opened ourselves to that gift? Have we opened our hearts and minds? Have we said, Heavenly Father, give me some of that living water. I want it. I'm opening the door to it. I need it. You see, if we open ourselves to loving and believing in and living for God's Son, which is and who is the greatest of God's gifts, then we open ourselves up to receive and recognize more of God's gifts that he gives to his children. You see, from God's grace comes our faith, which is, according to Ephesians 2:8, a gift from God. But if we open ourselves up to believing in God, this is where it gets really good, then we open ourselves up to the opportunity to receive more gifts from God. Now, that's exciting. If you remember birthday parties, remember you'd go to a birthday party, and you'd friends would come over to your birthday party. I remember that used to be fun. And they'd walk in, you knew it was going to be fun because your friends were coming over. But then they'd bring the gifts, and you're like, guys, great to see you, but let's get to the gifts. And that was fun. And the more that came, well, the friends were important too. The more that came, the more exciting it was. And I remember loving and thinking that, wow, there's a lot of gifts. And God says, listen, I'm giving you my son. It's a gift too wonderful for words, but I'm not done. You see, there's more gifts that God can give us for those who believe in Jesus. The question is, are we open to this? So let's do this. Let's read our sermon text today. Matthew 7:7-11. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus winding his Sermon on the Mount down. These are some great, great words. Here's what Jesus says, starting verse 7, Matthew 7. He says, ask and you will be given what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. If only you will knock, the door will open. If a child asks his father for a loaf of bread, will he be given a stone instead? If he asks for fish, will he be given a poisonous snake? Of course not. And if you hard-hearted, sinful men know how to give good gifts to your children, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts to those who ask him for them? Now I'm going to take you back. By the way, all the kids are downstairs, so we can talk about this openly, because if you're young, you'll never understand this. But if you're over the age of 40, you're going to get this. You see, folks, there was a day when we would come home from school. I guarantee you're going to understand this. There was a day we'd come home from school, normally in November, I think. And it's sketchy, but I think November. And if you were like us, we'd run in, we'd get off the bus, we'd run up to the house, and my mom would have the treats laid out. We would eat. If they didn't, we would have to make I would make the food and my brother would eat it. And this is how it would work. And so, but one of the things that we did is we always, around November, you started to anticipate the JCPenney and Sears and Kay's Merchandise Mart Christmas catalog. It's like the greatest thing ever. And if you remember it, folks, it was thick and it smelled good. And you never cared about the front because that was all the bedding and the blenders and the stuff you didn't want. You go right to the back and you'd work your way from back to front. Now, my brother and I would fight over those catalogs. And man, we love them. We would each have different ink. Like it may be blue, red, green, black, but we would all have different ink. And so what we would do is we'd fight over the book and we would circle what we would want. So good. And we would love it because there's always a new toys. And we got so excited about it. And when it was all done, it was so marked up. And my mom and dad were like, oh, great. But there was things that happened with regards to the catalog. And I want to share what happened with regards to the catalog. Because I think three things happened when we got done with the catalog. First and foremost, here's what we would do. We would start praying. Jesus, please give me the Hot Wheels set. Like, it's great and I need it. But then we would start presenting. After praying, we'd present. You ever done that? You take the catalog, you go to your mom and dad, like, hey, what are you watching? I want to show you something. It's Black Ink's mine. I just wanted to show you this. I would probably like it. You may not want to give it to me, but I think I deserve it. That's called presenting, right? And then when they didn't get it, then you'd start pleading, Mom, please, I need this. Evel Knievel, this is what we want. And that's what we would do. We'd start pleading. So you would pray, you'd present, you'd plead. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying here. This is one of the greatest prayers that we can ever offer. And it's something that we have to remember. And so here's what we need to do. We need to do the same thing with God. So we need to go before God. It's like he's got the catalog. And we go to God and we say, God, I've circled these things. And probably you've got better things. And so what we do is we start praying and we start presenting and we start pleading. And we watch and we see what God does. And it's exciting. You see, we have today an opportunity to secure more gifts. Now, the question is, what are these gifts that we can expect and be open to? As we said earlier, they are spiritual, they are physical and personal, and lastly, they are eternal. If we are open to Jesus, then we are open to what he can give us first spiritually. Let's talk about this. In Hebrews 2, verse 4, we find that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed according to God's will. Now, the question is, what are these gifts that we should be open to? And the answer to that question is found in the long list of gifts that are outlined in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 11, and then Romans 12, 6 through 8. They are, and this is not conclusive, it's not exhaustive, because I believe God's gifts can never be limited. I believe he'll continue to come up with great things that we can do, but Scripture lays out the most important things, the powerful things that he wants us to do. Here's what they are. The gift of leadership, the gift of preaching, the gift of evangelizing, which is soul winning, the gift of caring and teaching and healing and helping and speaking and giving and comforting. And from our sermon text, as we parents give to our children, so does our Heavenly Father give gifts to his children. Children, we must believe in God's Son, who is the gift too wonderful for words to receive these gifts from God and his Son. Now, the question is, number one, are we open to them? And then number two, are we willing to open them? You ever been given a gift? Can you imagine? Somebody gives you a gift, like, hey. They give me, by the way, this was from the kids, which is so nice. It's chocolate. I looked. So, they gave me this gift, and I'm excited about it. You know, I had to look. Can you imagine if they gave me the gift, and I said, thanks? And they said, well, are you going to open it? And I would say, well, no. And they would say, oh, you're going to wait? And I'd say, no. I said, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm just going to look at it. I'm probably put it on my table. I think it'll look nice there. But you're not going to open it and do anything with it? I'm not going to do anything with it. But thank you for giving it to me. I think I'll enjoy looking at it. They would be upset as the giver, and I would never receive the blessing as a receiver. Is that right? Now I want you to think about something, folks. You've been given spiritual gifts. Every single person in this church, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, you have a gift or gifts. The question is, have you opened them? Are you open to them? What are you doing with them? That is the question that we have to be open to today. Now, these gifts are important. Number one, let me ask you this. Have you ever asked God to reveal to you what maybe your gifts might be? Maybe to just say, God, listen, I'm coming before you in prayer. I'm presenting what I think maybe I'm good at, but maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe there's something better that you can have me do in the name of Jesus. And then we start pleading, God, show me, please show me what you want me to do to benefit your kingdom and to build and grow this church. Are we open to them? Are we doing something with them? All right, let's talk about personal and physical gifts. Let's go. It's going to be Christmas soon, folks. We might as well just set the stage now. Remember the Magi. Remember the Magi, or the wise men, as we like to call them? We read about them in Matthew 2, verse 11. Personal and physical gifts. Here's where you get to see it. Those men brought gold, which represented Jesus' kingship. They brought frankincense, which represented Jesus' priesthood. And they brought myrrh, which represented Jesus' impending death and mortality and his leaving of this earth. Now, God gave these men physical, personal gifts to be used for a righteous spiritual purpose. During the building of the tabernacle, seems fitting we should mention this today. During the building of the tabernacle, God's people brought to that building project their physical, personal gifts. Exodus 35:20. I love this. Here's what it says. Exodus 35:20 says, the people went to their tents to prepare their gifts. That's so neat. I love to think when we came forward and we said, hey, we're kind of looking at this. Feels like God's kind of opened our eyes to this, opened the door to this. Would you go home and pray? We did the same thing. Would you pray about this? Present this to each other and then plead to God about this. And then let's come back and talk about this. And you know what you did? You went to your tents, your homes. I don't think any of you live in tents, but you went to your homes, your tents, and you started preparing your gifts. And you said, I think I can do this. I think I can pledge this. I think I can give this. And you did this. I love Exodus 36, 4 and 5. It says, they collected more than enough. These were God's gifts. These people looked at it and said, you know, it's not ours. It's God's. So yeah, I'll give whatever you need. And they had more than enough. In Numbers 7, 4 and 5, it says, the leaders of Israel brought their offerings for the tabernacle, and the Lord told Moses, I love this, accept their gifts. And they did. In 1867, the Cobell Community Church was built using $2,500 worth of contributions and gifts. They were personal. They were physical. That church stood, my math is correct, for what would be 44 years. 44 years. Now the question is, what happened to it? 1911, there's two stories that circulate. We don't know which one's true. The church either burned down or was blown down. Tornado or a fire? We don't know. 1911, it was gone. There was nothing here. So here's what happened. In 1913, a group of people came together. They said, you know what? We need to rebuild this church. And they did. 1913, they rebuilt this building. You look around and you say, come on. It is true. It's the same building you're sitting in. 106 years old. Now, how did they do it? They did it with their gifts. Their personal and physical God-given gifts. They asked for a gift, this church, and today it still stands. Now let me tell you what happened. You see, folks, you have a play in this. Because you were open to this personal and physical God-given gift. This is, plaster might fall in. This is personal and physical. It is solid. It's tangible. It has value. And you looked at this and said, I like this old building. This is neat. But there was so much more to this church and this old building. It was the people in this building. It was God's word that's read in this building. And it was the Savior who's worshipped in this building. It was a gift. But it doesn't end there. This church was a gift. But let me tell you something else about gifts. All right, let's do this. You haven't heard of this for about a year. Many years ago, back in, 2003, I'm guessing. The church kind of started to grow. Velma's kids weren't the only kids. And we started to see more people come and were like, this place isn't very big. And so my friend and a man that I dearly love and have been close to for so many years, and I cherish him dearly, Vern Merrill and myself and some others went out. We stood out at the end of this parking lot. We looked and were like, well, we have no money and we have no land, but let's think about putting up a building. Now, that didn't go very far. And I can tell you for years, Vern and I talked about it, but there's nothing we could do about it. And so then one day I get a phone call from a couple that I dearly love. Great people. They love golf, by the way, which really makes it even better people. But they called me up, Glenn and Mary Zook. Glenn farms this land right here that's adjacent to our property. Glenn called me up one day and said, Chad, can we talk? And I said, sure. And he said, at the church. And I said, oh, okay. So I met him out in the parking lot. Glenn and Mary were there. I pulled up and he said, I don't know how to ask you this, but can we go inside? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, we can definitely go inside. And so we were standing right back where my brother is, standing back there, and they said, Chad, we've been praying about this. We want to present this. Isn't that neat? They said, we want to give you the land. I said, you want to give us the land? He said, we don't want anything. But there's one caveat. You got to build a church. That's the thing. We'll give you the land, but every time we're out here farming, we love looking at this old church. We know it's not going to stand forever. If we give you the land, would you be willing to build a church? He said, well, sure. And I'm thinking, how much time do we have, Glenn? But that wasn't the only gift, and it was an amazing gift. So then we get a phone call, or I should say we got a phone call, but before the phone call came, I went to the, many of you know where I work, and so I went to the upper floor of Calvert and Metzler Memorial Home. Up there, there is a board that has the names of the deceased, of those who we are offering services for. And I went up, and the minute I walked in, one of the directors said, Chad, are you doing the service? And I said, service for whom? Irene Mishler said, don't know her. And he said, well, that's weird, because she claims Covell is her church, and that's where it's coming from. I said, really? I don't know who she is. And so we went home, and we have a black book. If you're in the black book, it's a good thing. You want to be in that black book. So we went through the archives of the black book, and sure enough, we found the name Irene Mishler. Let me tell you a little bit about this. You see, she was in this church in 1918 as a five-year-old. Her parents attended this church. As a matter of fact, I have to believe that her parents might have been active in building this church. Irene Mishler was born in 1913. Perhaps as a way to dedicate their baby, one of the ways that they did it was to help build this church. Now here's what we know about Irene Mishler. Irene Mishler died at the age of 102 years old. We think that she was a librarian. We believe she was never married. And we know that she decided at some point in her life to leave 10% of her total estate to Covell Community Church. That total estate was worth over $1.3 million, at which point she left 10%, $138,900 to Covell Community Church. I know all the people at Heartland Bank. They called me up and said, Chad, you gotta come get this. I thought it was weird when I walked into Heartland Bank and all the staff comes walking toward me. I'm thinking, uh-oh. It was the opposite of what you expect. And they said, we just want to see your face. And I opened it up, and there it was, the check for $138,900. Now, here's what it said. In her estate, as part of her will, it said, in memory of the Arnold J. Mishler family for permanent improvements to Covell Community Church. Folks, Vernight, we tried to make permanent improvements to this church. It wouldn't work. And so what we did, we brought builders and all kinds of builders and all kinds of different contractors. And they said, listen, this is a lost cause. You can't do anything with this. You're just going to have to do something different. You have to put up a new one. And we looked at this. We said, Glenn and Mary Zook. And we said, then we looked at Irene Mishler and then Jerry and Jenny Butler. And I'll never forget this. And I love Jerry. Many of you may not know, we built a house and Jerry was my plumber for my house. I love Jerry. I bugged Jerry to no end. The mere fact that he's still with me as a friend says a lot. I was constantly calling him. But Jerry and Jenny Butler one day came to our leaders meeting, and with tears in her eyes, and I'll never forget it, and Jenny said, we feel compelled to build a church. And literally, it was all but done until the Butlers came in, and at that point, we're like, oh my, here's another gift. I think we're getting to the point, we need to build this church. It was a gift. The Zooks were a gift. The Mishler money was a gift. You see, folks, personal physical gifts from God for you come because God loves you. Because you open your heart and your arms and your mind to him. You asked to him. You pleaded with him. You prayed to him. You presented your request to him. And folks, we did this for him. And today we have something that we can give back to him. His gift of grace, his gift of faith, and his personal and physical gifts given to us have sustained this great old place. They have. Now, we have a new place because God blessed that new place. You see, God took all of our gifts and he said, let's just put up this place. Now, many of us had the vision that we would leave this for the next generation. That's great. I'm excited about it. When we're long gone, there will be all kinds of memories, all kinds of books and pictures that we can share with them, videos that we can share with them of how this came from him. We asked him for it. He gave it to us. So let's talk about the eternal gift, folks. Because so often we get so hung up on the temporal and we forget about the eternal. So often we see the building and we forget what God is building. So let's talk about the eternal gift. What should we open to that he is open for us? Paul said in Romans 6:23, love this passage, part of Romans wrote, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Did you hear that? The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, here's what we know. God's grace, as we said earlier, is God's gift. And in Romans 5:21, Paul said that grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm going to ask you the easiest question I've ever asked you. Are you open to the gift of heaven? Do you look forward to heaven? Do you talk about heaven? Do you share it with your family members and your friends? Where you go, is it part of your conversation? If it isn't, it should be. If all you're doing is building your treasures here, I can tell you they'll erode, they'll go away. We need to be building what's up there. This building is temporal. What God cares about is what's eternal. And I want to read something. By the way, if you've heard this passage before, it's because it's shared in every single funeral. Jesus says this, John 14:1-4. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You are trusting in God. Now trust in me. There are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I'm going to prepare them for your coming. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so you can always be with me where I am. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, and you know where I'm going and how to get there, and we know how to get there." I love this old building, but I love more what God is building. I look forward to it. For those of you who are suffering and struggling, for those of you who have disease and pain, I can promise you this, there will be no struggle, no suffer, no disease, no pain in heaven. There just won't. Is this what we're living for? Are you open to God's gift of heaven? If we're open to God's grace, then we can openly receive the gift of faith, Ephesians 2:8. And when we believe in and live for and love God and his Son, here's what we know. We can better seek and see and secure the spiritual and the personal and the physical and the eternal gifts that God has for us, for those who believe in Jesus. So here it is, folks. Your last Sunday in the old church. It's okay to cry. It's okay to look around and say, why? And let me answer that question as you wipe your tears. Why? Because God wanted it. Because God willed it. And because God used people and planned it. We were open to the gifts. And because we were open to the gifts, he opened the doors to a new building. And that we are grateful for. We will walk into that new building with faith and confidence in our Lord and Savior because we know how powerful he is and what he can do for all of us who believe in Jesus. This is what we know. We embrace this today. As children of God, today we understand that this old building was and will always be a gift from God. And so today we say, thank you, God. Thank you for your Son, your gift, too wonderful for words, your Holy Spirit, your grace, our faith in every spiritual and personal and physical and eternal gift that you have given everyone who has opened the door to your Son. Today, after 106 years, we will close the doors to this gift and we will open the doors to a brand new gift. I pray today that we will use our gifts to not only continue building that building, but I pray today that we will continue to trust in God to build us, strengthen us, and sustain us as we continue to look forward to what he is building in heaven for all of us. Today, folks, is a day of rejoicing. And today we look forward to what lies ahead. Praise God for what he has done for all of us. To every single one of you, for your gifts, your prayers, your time. Vern, thank you for sticking with me for all these years. I know it's not been easy. We've had some wild rides. Thank you. Jerry and Jenny, I cannot thank you two enough. Literally, the dream was dead until you came down. Jenny, your tears are powerful. Man, oh man, we see your tears. We melt. Like, okay, yeah, we got to do this. To everyone who gave and everyone who loved, thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right, so here's what we're going to do. This was actually an idea. This was not my original idea, but I loved it. Here's what we are going to do. This is, folks, it's the last Sunday in Covell at the old building. Seems like it should be the last Sunday to have an altar call in the old building. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or if you want to renew your faith, if you say, you know what, I just want to come up here for the last time, and I want to know that I'm walking with the Lord. I want to be a different person. I want to be that Christian. I want to be what God wants me to be. Join us here up front. We will have people that will come up and pray for you. We have prayer hour people. These people are good. So we will join you up here if you wish to come forward. Kneel, stand. You can sit on the table as far as I'm concerned. Just come on up. This is where our last pastoral prayer will be, in this old building right here. Come forward now if you wish. Speaking to us and through us by your written word and reminding us that you've been behind all of this all along. Father, for years we wondered how this would happen, and today we realize that it has happened. It is your will and your blessings, and Father, we thank you that we were open to the gift because we wouldn't have been without you. Thank you for your son, which is our gift, too wonderful for words. Father, we thank you for him. Father, I pray that we will never, ever put you in a box. I pray that we will never, ever limit your grace or your goodness. And I pray today that we will ask for, plead for, present to you our needs, our requests, and our wants. And I pray today, Father, that we will trust you not only to deliver us and provide for us, but to help us. We are grateful. And we're reminded today of just how wonderful and powerful you are. Father, I thank you for blessing us and for making us a church family. And Father, I pray that we'll just grow together. And I pray that you'll strengthen us in all that we do. Father, I pray today that you will be with all of those who are hurting and struggling and sick. I pray for those who don't know if they'll be here tomorrow, for those who are not assured of that tomorrow, I pray, Father, that you'll help them. And Father, today, I pray that you'll remind us we're not assured of tomorrow. And so I pray today that you would help us to want to be in heaven, to look for and long for that building that you're building. And Father, I ask today that you will make us strong in our faith, and I pray today that we will lean upon your grace to do this. Father, I thank you for everything that we have, but especially for your love and your mercy and your gift. We are grateful. Father, be with us now as we sing this closing song. I pray that we will raise our voices to the heavens and give you all the praise and glory that's due you. Thank you for everything that we have. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, Velma, you got to do this. I'm kind of putting you on the spot. There's, you know, there's always, Dan is back here in the back. By the way, guys, wait till you see the new building and the sound booth. Everybody wants to be in the sound booth. It's only can be used by these two, but I'm going to tell you, it's phenomenal. But Dan always picks the final song, or John picks the final song. It's so cool because it always seems to work. So Velma, quickly, share about this song, how it came about, and by the way, I don't know if you knew that this was the sermon today. You did not, probably. It's crazy.
And she said, hey, for our last song, let's do Amazing Grace. And I replied back in text, LOL. Just got my music done an hour ago, and that's what I chose for this ending song.
Guys, this happens more than you know. These are the back channels we were working till 11 o'clock last night. I think Jillian's not up here to confirm, folding bulletins and all that. We just laughed. We said, you know what? This is the last time we do it for the old building, but it means so much that there was so much meaning behind it. That was one of those things we were talking about last night. So we are grateful. Velma, thanks for keeping your eyes open, and especially for this song. So, all right, here we go. Let's do it. Let's stand. Amazing Grace. His grace is amazing. Let's stand and sing about it.
Oh,
Well, I knew that was happening. I knew that was coming. All right. So I gotta find my daughter because she's got the sheets. We gotta make sure and get those. She's down. Is she downstairs? Hey, Chris, would you run down and get her? Yeah, you're the crazy uncle that she loves. So she'll listen to him. All right. All right. So, folks, this is it. But it's really not it. It's just the last service here. But there's going to be a lot more services over there. Remember, one service, you're going to see people be like, who are these people? Those are called second servicers, all right? Be nice to them because they've been here a long time too. I love when we meet people for the first time. We're like, oh, nice to meet you. Like, we've been here for like 10 years. So it'll happen, I promise. All right. With that said, Jillian, you ready? Good, good, good. There she is. All right. Okay. Have you shed a tear yet? All right. All right. Okay. So with that said, let's pray and then we'll get you guys out of here. Grab one of those sheets. Remember, if it's a family of four, maybe just grab two and we'll make these last. If you've got a little one, probably, Andrew has incredible talents and I love his cards that he sends me. So I would just say, John and Deanna, you guys just fill them out. And if Lauren wants to fill one out, it would melt my heart. So there we go. All right. By the way, Sharon, I opened the cards. Oh my heavens. I mean, they're so good. The kids' cards are amazing. Do you guys know how talented your kids are? They're awesome. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for every single person here, every contribution that they've made, everything that they've done. Father, you've blessed us because of Jesus. And Father, I pray now that you will go with us, keep us safe. Help us as we assemble next week in the new church. I pray that there would be this level of excitement and that we will carry on this building process in the name of Jesus. That we ask according to your will. Be with us now, we pray. Thank you for your gifts. And now we pray that we'll get more of them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.